Welcome to Dive Bar Music Club, the low-key, high-taste happy hour for music nerds. Each week, we're joined by a rotating cast of true music fans, people who live and breathe independent music. This week, I'll turn the tables on myself, Sloane Spencer, a soft retired radio personality, unwitting early podcast success, former syndicated radio host, voiceover artist, and basically the Marilyn Munster of the group. So grab a drink, pull up a stool, part hang, part deep dive, part time machine on this week's session of Dive Bar Music Club. Well, Sloane Spencer, we are so glad to have you be part of Dive Bar Music Club. What are you doing in the world of music these days? Well, over the pandemic, I slowly phased out my original podcast, Country Fried Rock, and I hosted a couple of really short seasons of just fun podcasts as an excuse to talk with folks. Since then, I sort of soft retired from radio and mostly just do my voiceover work. And after feeling a little burnt out about podcasts for a few years, suddenly I was itching to start some back. And weirdly, that's where my other new show came from, called Sleep with Rockstars. It's a Gen X sleep podcast. And the idea started a million years ago back with Country Fried Rock, which, by the way, I just found a bunch of the hard drives and I've been uploading some of the old episodes for people again. So not new episodes, but hundreds of them completely disorganized, whatever. You can find them at countryfriedrock.com. Well, Sleep with Rockstars has been super fun because it started back as an idea in the Country Fried Rock early days when someone told me they listened to the episodes slowed down to fall asleep at night. And I was like kind of offended. But as I thought about it over the years, I was like, ooh, a sleep podcast would be a great idea. So it's totally different than anything else that I have done. The delivery is purposely like super quiet and slow. And there's no commentary, no guests. It is me reading from Wikipedia about bands that are popular with Gen X people. So I arbitrarily started with 1984 as kind of just like a focal point and looked at music that was popular then. And so basically I'm just like choosing bands that were both quite popular, but also that I happen to like. And I'm reading from Wikipedia in a very sleepy tone of voice. And it's way more fun than I ever expected. So yeah, sleepwithrockstars.com. And then as I got back into it with that, and then I found those hard drives for Country Fried Rock, I thought it would be fun to try something a little different with some of my friends in music, who I don't think any of them actually know each other. And that's where Dive Bar Music Club came from. And the idea is kind of like when you get to go to a big music festival or a conference and you see your friends that you only know from that environment and everybody gets together and it's fun to talk about music and whatever you're listening to and whatever's going on and just catch up. Kind of like a family reunion of people you pick. Well, so that's the idea here. It's super casual. We want everybody to be able to, you know, hop in maybe once a month and chat about the top three things they're listening to these days. There's no like, this has to be new, this has to be cool. It's just whatever you're listening to. And casually talk about the music and enjoy what's going on. And, you know, if people have cool stuff going on in their professional lives to be able to share that information. But just to keep it super low key, as if we all were getting to hang out in real life. And so that's where Dive Bar Music Club came from. So Sloane, what is your villain origin story? Like, how did you end up in the world of music? I know from your social media a few years ago that you notoriously can't play except maybe like three power chords. Okay, so that is true. I can play three power chords. I learned them for a charity gig. And up until the pandemic, I temporarily fronted a Ramones cover band called Ramones, which is kind of hilarious because I can't sing either. But yeah, here we are. Anyway, so I've always been like a massive fan of music. My parents were really big fans of music. Their first date was going to see Janis Joplin at the Fillmore East in New York. So they were actually went to that show because the Staples Singers were the main act and my dad was a huge fan of them. So I just grew up with a huge variety of music in the house and records were a really big deal. And very first thing I ever bought with my own money was a record. So I've just always been a huge, huge fan. And then I also have always been a major nerd, so that's no surprise to anybody. So when I was in fifth grade, I did this like special math thing down at Georgia State, and that's when I discovered college radio. And so Album 88 was a huge deal, WREK from Georgia Tech as well, but I was a big Album 88 person primarily. And I just became obsessed. And so I was like this super nerdy kid who was just super, super into music. And I skipped a grade, and so I was already young, and I was hanging out with kids who were way older than I was. And I decided that it was a really good idea to sneak out of the house and go see shows. And needless to say, I got caught. And my parents' solution was to drive me to punk rock clubs. And my dad would sit in the car and chain smoke and read a book by flashlight. I've seen hundreds and hundreds of shows. It's kind of ridiculous looking back on it. As a parent, like, I absolutely would never have allowed my own kid to do this. So I don't know. I'm just really lucky that I had super checked out parents of a Gen X person. Like, it wasn't even, I wasn't even like the only kid in these clubs. It was bizarre. Anyway, that's just kind of how it went. And that passion for different kinds of music and particularly emerging music never went away. I am not cool. If you've met me, you know, I'm like Marilyn Munster. I just really like the music. And gosh, it goes all the way back to that WREK and Album 88 obsession. I mean, honestly, it goes back before that. It goes all the way, but you got to blame WKRP in Cincinnati. I mean, that's my real origin story. Like, I loved WKRP in Cincinnati. And so go back to when I was in early elementary school and there was the Iranian hostage situation. Y'all may remember this. There was a huge morning show in Atlanta at the time that was collecting letters from school children to send to the Ayatollah Khomeini, and whoever collected the most letters would get to be on the radio. And I was that kid. I collected the most letters from the schools around me and I got to deliver them and be on the morning radio show. And it was one of those like very morning zoo sort of concepts. I knew I wanted to go into radio then, and that was not acceptable at all with my family. So that's how I kind of got myself into college radio. When the first radio station I auditioned for, I did not get the job. And it's kind of funny because I did the next best thing, which was my best friend did get hired. And I just was her unofficial co-host every single morning on the radio. It was awesome. So anyway, college radio was super fun. And then I was a teacher for a really long time. And then I got back into radio. And I've worked in, gosh, more than 25 years. I worked in dozens of formats, all kinds of crazy stuff. The biggest thing you learn when you switch to commercial radio is it doesn't matter what you think about the music because that's not really what your job is. In some ways, it broadened my horizons. Like, I had never listened to pop music, like popular pop music. That had never, ever been my thing. So there was stuff that was old that I had never heard. And along the way, I somehow convinced our station programmer to let me do a couple of specialty shows. And the first one was called the Southern Rock 7 at 7 on our classic rock station. I was also on the country station at the time, and that morphed into the Daily Plate of Country Fried Rock, and that morphed into the podcast, and then it all kind of snowballed from there. For a while, I had a syndicated radio show that was heard in like 12 different countries and more than 200 markets, just super fun, and I got really burnt out after about 15 years and sort of phased myself out, and then the itch came back, and here I am. So one of the things we love here at Dive Bar Music Club is the spaces that have helped amplify and make the music even better. Do you have any venues over the years that you just absolutely love to go see music? Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the original Atlanta version of the Cotton Club was one of my favorite places to go. The old Excelsior Mill was awesome. I have a poster off of a wall from one of Driving and Crying, its album releases, when I was 100% sure the floor was going to collapse from everybody dancing. I loved all the Atlanta dive bars. You know, Atlanta in the 80s was a great place for rock music and saw so many incredible shows. 688 was the first place I ever snuck into and just absolutely loved it. Everywhere I've ever lived, I have enjoyed finding the music spaces and enjoying getting to see shows. And these days I live in the middle of nowhere in South Carolina, so I travel a bit to go see shows. And I definitely have favorites that I will keep an eye on what's playing and like to go check them out. I love D's Country Cocktail Lounge in Madison, Tennessee, outside of Nashville. That place is great. It's like a triple wide trailer. It is not a dive bar. It's actually really nice, but they have fantastic music and I love that place. I really like the Pinhook up in Durham, North Carolina. They have a great vibe and they put on some great shows. I am a regular at the 40 Watt in Athens, Georgia, even though it's quite a bit of a hike for me these days. And I actually preferred when they were in the old Caledonia space, RIP Caledonia as well. That was a wonderful space for music. But I love what they're doing and I super respect their longevity and how important they are to the music community there as well. And the other thing that I've been committed to for many, many years is a charity in Athens, Georgia called Nucci Space. It is a comprehensive organization that's intent is to remove barriers to mental health care for the music community of Athens, Georgia. And they do that through so many things from direct care and helping people access primary care and mental health care, all the way up to affordable rehearsal space and gear rental. They have a relatively new, incredible studio inside the historic remains of the chapel. If you're a big REM fan as I am, you'll know what I'm talking about. The studio is actually really nice. I've been in there multiple times. So yeah, they're a great charity and I continued to support them over the many years. Even produced a couple of charity compilations on their behalf that I think are still available. And it's like Country Fried Rock Presents or something like that. But very cool experiences, and venues matter. And live music, of course, is the ultimate to me. So, Sloan, where would you like people to find you? I notoriously hate social media with a passion, and I periodically delete all my social media. The only place where I really post on a regular basis is Blue Sky, but you are going to find all my F-bombs. Like, it's a pretty unfiltered thought process for me there. It's kind of like what Twitter was for me many, many, many years ago, which is sort of where I kind of got to know a lot of music people. So that's definitely the kind of unhinged side of me. I mean, it's real, but, you know, I don't filter a whole lot. So if you don't want to know, don't go there. I occasionally post stuff through one of those posting apps onto my Instagram. I don't actually use Instagram. So, yeah, I mean, it's there, but eh. And I absolutely hate the other social medias. So, yeah, I don't really want to be found. It's more important to me that people find that, like, the work that I'm creating, like this with Dive Bar Music Club or Sleep with Rock Stars, either of my current podcasts or even the archives from Country Fried Rock, which I'm really trying to roll out for folks, because even though the content is old, like all the way back to like 2009 on some of it, it really matters. And a lot of those folks are still making great music. And even if they're not, the music they made at the time was fantastic. And I think it's important that people check it out. So yeah, I guess the best place to find me, I have like a comprehensive website and its initials, but it stands for something fun. And it's a line that my grandmother used to say all the time, which is, y'all come back now, you hear? So I have a website that just covers all my stuff. And it's YCBNYH.com. It stands for y'all come back now, you hear? So if you can remember that, you can just type in those initial letters and you'll find it on there. But yeah, so I'm glad to be doing Dive Bar Music Club. I'm super grateful to all the folks who have decided to be part of this. I'm not really sure where we're going to go with it. The whole point is to have fun and to share the music. So I hope that it connects with people on a casual level and maybe turns you on to things that you already know or you should have known or that are coming your way. And you're like, oh, heck yeah. Well, thank you, Sloan Spencer. We sure appreciate you being the creator and the force behind all these fun things related to music and especially this new one, Dive Bar Music Club. Yeah, my pleasure. I appreciate you having me on. Hey, y'all. Thanks for sliding in the booth with us here at Dive Bar Music Club. I'm Sloan Spencer, a former radio host and the creator of a ton of different podcasts over the years, including another brand new one that is completely different. It's the Gen X Sleep Podcast, Sleep with Rock Stars. Subscribe today at sleepwithrockstars.com or your favorite podcast app.